like to begin our sermon today asking a couple of questions. What is it that really bothers you? What is it that, you know, irks you? Or, you know, like they say, what really gets under your skin? I mean, just something that you can't take it. Drives you nuts. What would it be? Do you have something like that? Lot did. And it's not something that should be unique to Lot. It's something that is an example for us to follow in our own lives. The next thing that Peter does in verse 7 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, he's already told us that Lot was a just man. We looked at that. Says how God delivered just Lot. Now, the next thing Peter does is he gives to us the clear evidence, the certain mark that Lot was indeed a just man. How do we know he was a just man? As I said, many of the things we read about Lot in the book of Genesis would seem to argue otherwise. How do we know? Well, of course, God, who knows the heart, tells us. And what was in Lot's heart that showed it was a saved heart is this. It says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed. That's an older word that we don't often hear, but it's a good one. It's an interesting word. It's a strong word, and it has a very wide range of meaning. It means primarily to tire or to wear down with toil. Or another way to say it is to exhaust with labor. And then it means to afflict or oppress or to distress. And that's why I ask, what distresses you? The other place it's used is in Acts chapter 7, in verse 24, talking about when Moses became an adult, 40 years old. He decided to go down to see how the Jews were doing, his brethren, the children of Israel. And verse 24 says, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong." And one of the Jews was being mistreated by the Egyptian. It says, "And he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed." Remember, the Jews were being put through slave labor, through great toil and suffering. And it made their lives bitter with hard bondage. And he sees this being done to an individual, fellow Jew. And it says, "And he smote the Egyptian. He killed him and buried him in the sand to try to hide what he had done." But that, the word there, him that was oppressed. Same word here as Lot was vexed. In other words, Lot was worn down or sore oppressed in his soul. Something troubled him, bothered him so bad that it was just like a crushing weight. It was like something he labored under all the time, and it was really wearing him out, tiring him, exhausting him. Now, this is a passive verb. Now, remember, when it's a passive verb, it means that the subject is being acted upon by something outside of himself, not doing the action. And so it means that Lot was being vexed or ill-treated by something else or something outside of himself. So what was it that wearied him out, that shocked him and exhausted him? What was it that knocked him about morally, in which he labored under as if always carrying a very heavy burden? What did this to him? Well, what Peter says it was is the lifestyles that were surrounding him. He looked at the other people in Sodom, saw how they were living, and it just completely bore him down. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed. Carrying a heavy burden that wore him out. And we know sin is often likened to just that, a heavy burden, one that crushes the soul and makes life very wearisome. Psalm 38 and verse 4. If we could just be freed of sin and guilt, how light things would be, how lively and happy we would be. It's sin that makes life unbearable. Psalm 38 in verse 4, David says, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." I mean, it's like being crushed by a landslide, buried alive under dirt and rock. It's right over my head. Heavy burden. Too heavy. Psalm 40 and verse 12, it says, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up." I mean, they are just crushing me down, bearing me down, wearing me out, keeping me from being able to even lift up my head. "They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me." Heart failure just from carrying around that burden of sin and guilt. And so Lot was vexed. And here he's not talking about his own sin so much as the sin of those around him. And what's it say about them? He was vexed by the filthy lives of his neighbors. And so here you see sin represented in one of its qualities. It's seen here as being something that is stinking, dirty, vile, and polluted, like a rotting carcass. It's filthy, something you don't want to look at, you don't want to touch. In Isaiah 64:6, we see sin represented this way. It says there, "But we are all as an unclean thing," because we're all sinners, "and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The very best things about us, the good things that we, in our lives, are filthy rags in God's eyes. "And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So we are polluted or corrupted. And that's what was true of those around Lot. He was vexed by their filthy conversation. Now the word itself means wantonness, licentiousness, or lasciviousness. Not nice words. Talking about dirty lifestyles, immorality. It speaks of a flagrant disregard of decency, modesty, morality, and propriety. Not just sort of bad, real bad. Not just starting to dabble that way, but going all out that way. The idea is that of excess and an absence of all restraint. It means indecency or shameless conduct. Now this word is spoken of a number of times. We'll look at a couple places. This filthiness is an evil that comes out of our heart. It's because our hearts are filthy, that which proceeds from our hearts is filthy. Mark chapter 7, Jesus himself said this in verse 22. He's talking about from within. You know, what is it that defiles a man? Eating non-kosher foods or drinks? No. He says, it's what comes out of the man that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men. Verse 21, I'm starting there to get the flow. They proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it's found in the heart, and that's where its source is, and that's where it comes from. It says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Lasciviousness. It's also called a work of the flesh. So it's a condition of the heart, and of course, because we act on what is in us, it shows itself in our behavior. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It talks about, now the works of the flesh are manifest or are clearly seen, openly revealed. They're not just kept there and hidden there. They break out in the life. He says, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Then one more thing I want to notice is that this is a sin that was committed by the most debauched of the Gentiles, or those who did not know God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, talking about the Gentiles. He says, who being past feeling, in other words, their conscience has been seared, and they have no more shame or guilt. And so they have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So they just have laid themselves out and said, okay, lasciviousness, I'm yours. You're free to use me as you please. And it expresses itself with all forms of uncleanness, and not in any small measure, but with greediness. A very awful picture. This filthiness is marked by insolence, audacity, and caprice. No holds barred. Anything goes. Like I said, no restraint, no bounds or limits. And so it's a most vile sin. And was this something that was of rare occurrence, or few and far between, or only occasional? No. This is said to be the conversation of the sodomites. He was vexed with the filthy conversation. Now the word conversation means habitual behavior, the course of conduct or manner of life. In other words, it was their regular, continual practice to be filthy. They did this all the time without let up. And why? It was because they were wicked. It was the filthy conversation of the wicked. And that word wicked means without law or custom, or to be lawless. The only other place it's found is in 2 Peter 3 again, in verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now here's the danger. Instead of being shocked, instead of being mortified and horrified by the sin around us. We become acclimated to it. We become tolerant of it. And pretty soon we become drawn in to where we do the same. He says, beware lest you, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so being vexed means we'll always see it as something terrible and something to be avoided that we want nothing to do with and no part of. And of course, Lot had made the original decision to go down to Sodom, even though they were wicked and sinners exceedingly before the Lord. So he put himself in a situation where he brought on himself this vexation. And that's about the only thing a Christian gets for putting himself in the company of the wicked: guilt and grief. And that's exactly what he was experiencing because of his own choice. And so the idea then is that Lot was vexed with the people around him who were without principles, lawless. Anything goes. You know, don't try to restrain me or tie me down or hold me back with your foolish rules. We will not be restrained or bounded by them. They were a people who had rejected the authority of God over their lives, and they were willfully and openly violating God's laws. That's the idea of wicked, lawless. And again, this grief that he was experiencing was the result of Lot's own choice to dwell among the Sodomites. We need to be careful where we live and whose company we keep. I mean, he had the privilege and benefit and blessing of Abraham's company. He left that, which would have been a constant benediction and source of help and encouragement to him. And he went down to the Sodomites, and all he got from that was constant grief and pain because of their lives. And so the idea here is that he was surrounded by and he was subjected to the conduct of the lawless in licentiousness, or by the immoral conduct of unprincipled men, or by the behavior of the lawless in wantonness, or by the lascivious life of the wicked ones among whom he dwelt. And so when we read this, the filthy conversation of the wicked, what do we have here? It tells us God's view of these people. It's a very accurate description of the attitudes and behaviors of Sodomites. I mean, they have, to get to the point where you are a homosexual, you have left all regard for right, all morality, and you have given yourself over to such an extreme degree of wickedness that these are the very qualities that they manifest. And they're proud of them. They're not ashamed of them. They don't hold them back. They take delight in them. And they think, you know, it's something to take pleasure in. And it's a very sad thing to see. And so what we learn from Lot is this: that which is the greatest grief and burden, that which troubles a just man the most, is not the concerns of this life, not his financial state, not his physical condition, not any of the things that are merely circumstantial. Rather, the things that trouble a just man the most are his own sins and the sins of those around him. And that is an evidence that we're saved. Why? Because it shows that we're more concerned for God's honor, God's glory, than our own pleasure, our own prosperity, our own convenience and ease. And so, again, he didn't just ignore what was around him. He didn't just act like So what? Doesn't matter. It vexed them. Are we vexed? I guess I'll close with that question. Are we vexed when we see the horrible behavior that's being lived out all around us more and more? How does it affect us? If we have the heart of Lot, we'll have the reaction of Lot. It will vex us. If it's something that doesn't matter, doesn't bother us, it's okay with us, and we can get along with it fine, then something's wrong. Something's very wrong, because that's not God's attitude. And if we are God's people, we have to have God's view of things and God's feeling toward things. And certainly the Lord is vexed with the sins of men. He says it presses him down like a cart. It's a heavy burden even to the infinite Almighty God, as he expresses it in our terms. And it should also be a burden to us as well, because that will make us willing to do what we can do to promote God's will. As it says, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and to try to turn back the sin and wickedness around us. That's a Christian's response. Of course, if we're not a Christian, that's our own element. We're very much a part of it. We're not promoting God's cause or God's interest. We are a part of the problem. And the only way to have that resolved is to recognize our own sin and turn from it, come to the Lord, and receive a new heart from him that will no longer take pleasure in wickedness, but will be opposed to it and enable us to live apart from it. Let's close in prayer.